Where were you born?
Malone.
What year?
1876.
Mm-hmm. Where in Malone, exactly?
On Grove Street. Well, no, I can't tell you where. Grove Street, we moved there after I was just old enough to remember. Uh-huh. But I don't remember it. In fact, I may have been born at my grandfather's, but he was farm. You know, I've kind of forgotten. Can't remember when that time. No, I really don't know whether I was born right in the village or up at the grandfather's farm.
Uh-huh. Well, what were your parents' names?
My father was E.H. Curtis, and my mother was, before she'd married, was Ruth Bemis.
Mm-hmm. What was his first name?
My father?
Yeah.
Edma.
Edma?
Edma. You don't find that often.
No, you don't find that.
No, I have a brother who was made named for him, and he kept getting letters, Miss Edna Curtis. But it's Edna.
I've never heard that name.
No.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had four brothers and three sisters. All dead.
What position were you, the youngest?
I was the oldest.
You were the oldest. Did you live in the same house all the time you were a child on Grove Street?
From the time I can just remember as going into that house. Wherever they lived before that, I don't know, but I can just remember. You know, I was a pretty young when we went into that house on Grove Street. I lived there until I went to New York.
Uh-huh. What did your father do for a living?
He was a gardener, florist. He worked at Webster Tannery for a long while, but then he went into gardening and florist business. Well, and he had a store at the corner of Pearl and Main, fruit and vegetable store.
What did he tell you about the Webster Tannery?
Never said much about it.
Did he say anything at all that you remember?
Not that I know of, no. I know it was long hours, about a 10-hour day, 7 days a week. There was no Saturday afternoons off those days. Mm-hmm. And counting like today, it's very, very small wages.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother ever work before she was married or after?
Not that I know of. In fact, I'm sure she did. She went to the academy. School there, that's finished up there. Of course, she went to the little country school when she was a child, and then as she got bigger, she went to the Franklin Academy. Mm-hmm. So there's been, four generations of her has gone there to the academy.
Hmm. How old was she when you were born?
Can't tell you.
But she was a young woman.
Yes.
Yeah. Just been married.
I don't know how. Well, I wouldn't know anyway. I could probably figure it out, but I don't. You got it?
Did your father go to school?
Yes. He lived in, just above, this next road down here, the Eddy Road. Mm-hmm. Well, about a mile up, there's a road turned, a deserted road now, turned to the left, and he lived there until Civil War, and then he run away, and he went down to Bangor once and enlisted, and they were making out the forms and everything, and Henry Hutchins, that he's living with, come rushing in. He said, "You can't take that boy," and he's only told of his age. The officer took the paper and tore it up and get out of here. So then he went back and stayed there until one day Henry Hutchins had to go to town, and then he went down to, and got a train and went to, he was down the Civil War.
Oh, he ran away to the Civil War after all.
Well, yes. Well, he didn't go into the war. He didn't enlist until really it was practically over. So that he was in the war of what do you call it? So no, it wasn't the war. It was just keeping the peace down there. You know.
The occupation.
But when he on his way down, he sat in a seat with an officer that had been on furlough and was going back. And the officer saw what he planned to do, and he says, "Don't do it." He says, "You're too young to go in. You go down there. You're used to handling horses. Get a job driving." He says, "You'll make money, and you'll do just as much good as you would if you went in the army as a drummer boy." That's what he was. So he went there. He drove team there in Washington. Then he enlisted, but after when he enlisted, he found he was in the Army of Occupation rather than a fighting army.
What year was he born?
You can give me that, can you?
Just five?
Yeah.
August 20th, 1848.
So when the war opened, he was about 14 years old.
Yeah.
13 years old.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just a little kid. Mm-hmm. A little kid.
He lived as a foster child with the Hutchinses.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What happened to his real parents?
My grandfather, as I understand it, he had a good position offered him, and grandmother refused to go. So he went anyway, and that's the last we ever heard of him. So I have no...
What did he do?
I couldn't tell you. I haven't any idea.
But they lived around here? Your grandparents?
They were living then, I think, in Malone. But they came mm-hmm. from Peru. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What did he tell you about working for the Hutchinses?
For what?
Working for the Hutchinses. What did he tell you about that?
Oh, all of them. He was there. They had no children, and he was more like their own son. In fact, we were taught to call him Grandpa. Grandpa and Grandma Hutchins, you know. He told me in the early days there was a certain section of property that he had to pick up all the stones on that and put them in the piles before he could start to school. And then he had about two miles to walk to school. I know where the school was because I went there later.
Was that the school in Scary or the school in Reynolds?
It was it was Brandon that was called then. Where? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Where was the Brandon school that he went to?
Just a little country school.
I mean, where was it?
Oh, I can't tell you. I know we went to the west, several roads, and then turned to the left again, and just up on those. And I remember, of course, I was going to Malone School at the time. I just went there because I was there on a vacation, and my school was through, but the country school, they hadn't closed yet. Mm-hmm. So I went, they had another boy at that time, a boy named Wally, and I went to school with him as long as the school was open. And I remember the teacher asked me one time to get up and read. And I read, and then she turned to the class and she said, "Now why don't you read like that?" You know, I didn't like that at all. I thought it was unfair that if they didn't read like that, it was her fault, not theirs. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What were the names of the Hutchins couple your father stayed with?
Henry Hutchins.
And his
but
wife.
But I don't know the... Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I'll just call her grandma so that I don't know.
Do you remember much about their personalities? how they were, how they acted?
Well, no, I wouldn't know anything special about them. There's one incident there that Dad has told me about. He and Henry Hudson went to the barn, started for the barn one day, and they heard in the wintertime, they heard the dogs barking, looked up, and there was some dogs chasing a deer. The deer would break through the cross, but the dogs, of course, didn't. The deer would run until she just fell down and lay there until the dogs were right on her, and then she'd start again. And they yelled at the dogs left, but the deer come running and fell right at their feet and laid there. I was surprised that a deer would do that, you know, but she seemed to recognize that that's the only salvation she had. They carried her in the barn and put her in some hay, but she was dead when they went out again. It surprised me that a deer would come running right up to human beings.
Did your father hunt?
Yes, he pretty near lost his legs hunting. They didn't have those heavy shoes like they have now, you know. And for still huntings, they just pulled one pair of socks over another, those big, thick, woolen, home-knit socks, you know. And when he got through, he'd had to walk quite a long distance to a bridge. So he thought he'd go across the ice to go to his camp. And he broke through and got his feet wet. Mm-hmm. Well, then his feet commenced to freeze. And in fact, that made him cold all over, you know. And he tried to light a match and build a little fire. He couldn't hold a match. His hand shook so. So he finally gave it up and kept going till he got to the camp. And his partner was there with him, they got ahead of him. He held his feet up to the fire and pulled the socks down a little bit and hauled it up there again till he got the socks all off. And the next day he piled up wood where her father wouldn't have to get out of the chair to keep the fire going. And he came down to Bangor and got a doctor to go up there. And the doctor said, "I'm afraid I'm going to have to take your legs." They were frozen, both of them, but he saved them.
When was this?
When he was just a young fellow. That's when he was just a young fellow living there at Hutchins.
When you lived on Grove Street, how many rooms were in your house?
Well, at first there was one, two, three, six. And then later he built an L on it, made two more rooms.
Is the house still there?
Yeah.
What kind of furniture was in the house? Can you remember any details?
No, nothing. There was nothing outstanding that you'd remember about. No, just the common chairs at the time of the day.
What were they like?
I couldn't tell you that.
What kind of wall decorations were there?
I had pictures on the wall, naturally. That's the only thing.
Oh, was there wall-to-wall carpeting?
One or two rooms. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of curtains did your mother have?
I wouldn't know. You know, a boy that age don't pay any attention to those things.
Right. What was the kitchen like?
Well, just a big cook stove in it. There's nothing outstanding that I would remember about it.
Did people spend a great deal of time in the kitchen?
Yes, because that was the warmest room in the house. Mm-hmm. Well, they had a stove in the living room, so that we were around the kitchen the most of the time.
Did you use coal at all?
In the later years, it was mostly wood, though. Wood was very cheap. You could buy a cord of wood for $4.50. I mean a full cord, 4x4x8, not a stove cord. See, the stove cord is, you get three of those out of one solid cord.
Oh, really?
The three 18-inch lengths out of one solid cord.
Did you sleep upstairs when you were a child in the house?
Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, we all did.
There was no downstairs bedroom?
No.
Was the upstairs cold in the winter?
So much so that Mother would heat flat irons and put down the foot of the bed, wrap them up in newspapers and put them the foot of the bed to warm the bed up. And they'd keep us warm during the night. And then we had a little dog, and if we didn't have the flat iron, we'd get the dog up there and push her down the foot of the bed and put our feet on her. As kids.
Did your brothers and sisters, did the brothers and sisters sleep in, together? Boys, two boys in the same bed?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How many bedrooms were there?
There was, well, in the beginning there was just the three in the house, but then we put that L on, which made a big, so that we had two beds on in that. Mm-hmm. And there'd be four of us in there, the four boys.
Did your parents have a trundle bed for the younger ones under their own bed?
No.
What kind of cradle did they have for the younger children as they were born?
Well, I wouldn't know how to explain it, just a cradle that I couldn't tell you anything special about it that I couldn't tell you. Mm.
What was the parlor furniture like?
I can't tell you. I've forgotten all about it.
Was the parlor treated as a special room that the children were forbidden to go in?
Oh, no. It was a living room, not a parlor. Mm-hmm. At the grandfather's, they had the parlor. They had a living room, and then off of that was a parlor, which was open when the minister or someone came.
Your mother's parents?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That house is near the St. Joseph Cemetery, isn't it? On the
the cemetery, as you're going out of Malone,
right.
On what is it?
30.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How old were your grandparents when you were about 10 years old? They were still living there?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. They were living there after I went down. I went down to Jersey in 92. Mm-hmm. And they lived for a number of years after that. I was up several times on vacations.
Mm-hmm. What did your grandfather do for a living?
Farming. Mm-hmm. I say farming, but he didn't do much farming himself. In the Civil War, he was kicked by a mule and broke the ribs over the heart, and they were never properly set so that they came apart, and any little pressure on his ribs would be against the heart. If he'd happened to turn over on his side, left side, grandmother had to keep that in her mind. She's always watching out, even in her sleep, you know, she'd have that on her mind. If he turned over, she'd pull him back over and get him off that left side. So he was getting about as large a pension as they paid at that time. Mm-hmm. And his farming was largely hired men.
What was his rank in the army?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Could you describe what kind of a man he was? His personality?
Well, he's pretty nice. Pretty fine fellow, but I can't. They were both churchgoers. Mm-hmm. That was Sunday, hitch up a three-seated wagon and drive down to Malone, the Baptist church there.
Mm-hmm. I have, he's a GAR veteran, member of W.D. Brennan Post of Malone, member of the Northern Constellation Hodge, was 5'8".
He was 5'8"?
Mm-hmm.
What was your grandmother like? Did she have sort of a different personality than his? Was she more strict or less strict?
Yes. She, I suppose, largely because of his condition, she was lost. Mm-hmm. And she was, in speech, she was very severe. But that's as far as I went. She'd do anything. She had her heart's bigger. She was fine. Mm-hmm. But, as I say, in speech, I remember one time I was there and she was going to Malone that day. And she wanted me to be back there by 10 o'clock. I'd go out in the field with the men, which, well, that's where I wanted to be, you know. And when it came pretty near 10 o'clock, they told me to go down to the house. I went a roundabout way to get there, and in the meantime, she had got ready and drove out to get me. And when I got there, I went up, hid up in the, they called it the woodshed chamber, a room up over the woodshed, where they just an attic to support, they took things, you know, and store them. Mm-hmm. Well, I went in there. She came, my aunt told her when she'd gotten back where I was. She came up there with a horsewhip, and that horsewhip was snapped every place in the room but me. She snapped it all around there. Now she says, I'm going to take you home, you can stay there, don't you come up again. Well, the next Sunday, Mother and Dad went up, and I went with them. I wanted to see if she really meant it.
She hadn't meant it, had she?
Nothing said.
How does she treat the hired man?
Well, a lot of the time there were relatives. They were treated like, in fact, the hired man those days were treated like the family. They had, they all ate together. There was no separate table for them. Everybody ate together. Mm-hmm. So they were treated very much like the family, don't you?
Was your grandfather a potato farmer or a dairy farmer?
Dairy.
How many cows did he have?
Oh, I'm possibly 15, 16. Mm-hmm. Not more than that. Mm-hmm.
And how many hired men would he have usually, average month?
Two or three. That's in counting his son, Uncle Tim. Yeah, Uncle Tim, and then there'd be generally a couple of hired men besides.
Do you know how much they got paid?
Bet.
How much did the hired men get paid those days?
Well, seems to me they got, in the winter time, about $12 a month. In the summertime, they got a little more, $16, $18 a month. And of course, their food and lodging.
Were they men with families?
No.
Where would they stay?
They stayed right there. All farmhouses, I think you'll find that every place that I've ever gone has been the same thing. They had one part of the house that was shut off from the rest. That is, there was a separate stairway. There was no connection with the house where the family lived. So if they did have hired people that they didn't know about at all, you know, they were by themselves, they were not mixed to the family. But that was the only difference there was in their treatment, was they slept in that section of the house. And I've been in a good many houses since, not only here, but down in New Jersey, when I was in the real estate. The same thing held too good there. They had one part of the house that was where the hired men slept.
Mm-hmm. Were many of these men veterans of the Civil War? Hired men?
I couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm. Were they of what religion were they, most of the hired men?
What relation?
Yeah, religion.
Well, they were, I think, probably cousins of my uncle.
Religion.
That?
Religion.
Oh, religion. I couldn't tell you about the religion.
What church did you go to while you lived
Baptist.
In the Baptist. Mm-hmm. The same place where it is now? in Malone?
Yeah, same location.
Mm-hmm.
As only it had steeple on then.
Right.
In fact, they had a big belfry up there and on the steeple, but they had to take that down, I think.
Where was the steeple? Which was the tall one?
Well, there's two partial towers on there.
Right.
Well, those they had steeples on.
Both did.
Yeah.
Mm. Why did they take them down?
I believe there was. They were getting unsafe. They've been built for a good many years, and that's what I've heard. I really don't know. But that was long after I left him.
What were Sunday services like at that church?
Well, sermon, of course, there was the singing and all, and then a sermon. Last about a half, three quarters of an hour. But we had, and then Sunday school after that, and another service in the evening. Other would be as long as they. People really went those days. They didn't have cars to go around in, and they really went to church.
So you went twice on Sunday then?
Twice on Sunday.
What time was the early service?
Early service about 10:30. And the other about 7:30. 7:30 to 9 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was the Sunday school teaching like?
Well, it was just others that had gone through the same thing, grown up in the church. Most of them, fortunately, my Sunday school teacher was also my school teacher, Jesse Ross.
A man?
No.
Oh, woman.
And he was a school teacher for about three or four grades. She was advanced as rapidly as I was, so that went right up with her.
Mm-hmm.
She was swell. I had others. There was a Miss Dustin, and I don't know. The only one that I remember well, though, was Miss Ross.
Was there any rivalry or bad feeling between the Baptists and other Protestant churches in Malone?
No,
Methodists or Congregationalists?
No, I don't think there was any. Each one, as we were younger at least, we each one thought we were the only ones who were right. I know I did. I wouldn't have gone to one the other. I'd go to the church, but I mean, I felt that my church was the right church. Now, whether that would have extended in the afterlife or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. How many people were Baptists at that time, when you were a child?
I don't know. We had church pretty well filled, every service.
Mm-hmm. Who was the minister? Who were the ministers that you remember best?
Well, there was one named Ashworth. He was an Englishman. Then there was Strong, Philip B. Strong. Those were the only two that I. There was some before that and after that, but I don't remember.
Were they emotional preachers? Or were they. How were they different from it? Preacher today.
Well, I don't think there's much difference. Only that I do think that they stuck more to the word than they didn't use so many stories, and not story exactly, but excerpts from stories and writings. Their preaching was on the Bible rather than outside writings, as so much of it is today.
Did people take their Bibles to church?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And how did they use them in church?
Well, when the
during the service.
When the reading, there was always the reading of the scripture, and you read with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the minister read one verse, and the congregation read the next verse. And
mm-hmm.
They do that yet, I guess.
Did the Baptist church have any rules of behavior or dress?
Dressed like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. How about card playing, dancing, things like that?
I never played cards till I was went down to New Jersey. Mother wouldn't have wanted it, but after we got larger, she never objected when I started playing cards, as long as I didn't bet. Mm-hmm. That she wouldn't have stood for at all. Mm-hmm. But I'd play all the cards I wanted to.
Did the Baptist Church sponsor church suppers or socials?
Yes.
What were they like? Were they held at a private home or at the church?
Oh, right, at the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For what occasions would they be?
Oh, and just to get together. It was partially just to get together. Another thing was to raise money.
Mm-hmm. Did they take up a collection in those days during the service?
At the service?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. And also had, you paid for your pew. But you rented your pew so much a year.
Any idea how much it was a year?
No, I don't.
And most, did people sit in their own pews, or did they just give a set sum of money and
oh,
sit
no,
in any
pew? Oh, no, they had their own pew.
Did people, for Sunday services, did they have flowers up front?
Only on special days. Children's Day, Easter. And the fact that the father was a florist, a lot of the flowers that were there were from our hothouse. We'd take a truckload of, well, you know, a wagon load of flowers up there, set them around. Well, others brought flowers, but generally on, just on those days, Easter and some special occasion.
You said Children's Day?
Children's Day, they called it. Where children were get up on the stay on the platform and recite a poem or something. It's just to give the children something to do. And they call it Children's Day.
Once a year?
Once a year, in the kind of spring of the year.
Did they award prizes to different children for...
The what?
Did they award prizes to different
no,
children?
No, no.
Next question. Okay. Did you have running water in your house on Grove Street?
Mm-hmm.
You did. How was it brought into the house?
Oh, pipes upon underground. Same just now.
Mm-hmm.
The reservoir... When I was just a kid, you know the cemetery on Webster Street?
Yes, the old cemetery.
Well, on the north side of that cemetery was a roof run right to the bar, to the floor, to the ground, and there was tanks in there. That was the water supply. All they had for a water supply
for the whole village of Malone?
Yeah, but then they. Developed what they have now. There's a horse brook and one other up at Chasm Falls
mm-hmm.
that they got the water from now, and it went to the pinnacle, the reservoir and the pinnacle. Mm-hmm. Just same as it is now. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether they've changed it.
Did the water come into the house in faucets?
Oh yes. Yeah. No, same as just now.
What did you use for lighting at that time?
Lighting?
Yeah.
Kerosene lights, mostly.
Did you have gas lights too?
No, God, first I saw gas lights and I went down to the city.
Did you have a dining room in the Grove Street house?
A what?
A dining room.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah.
How was it furnished?
Well, just table and chairs, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the match set? Was it a matched set?
All the chairs the same?
Oh no, we didn't have, no doubt many families did have, but we didn't. When a man working as a father did at the tannery there, their wages were not large. I wonder how he brought us up at all, kept us, we always had plenty to eat and We never could kick about how we were dressed, but I often wonder since how the dickens he did it.
How much, when he was working at the tannery, did he stay up there during the week?
Well, the tannery was, you know where Mill Street is in Malone, down the foot of the Mill Street, right. And turn to your right and it's over along the river. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's in there now. No.
Did you ever visit the tannery?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What was your impression of it? What do you remember about it?
A stinking place. Because then the basement was where they put the hides into a solution that took the hair all off them. Mm-hmm. And that was a really stinking place.
Do you know what the solution was? Do you know what kind of solution they used?
No, I don't. I haven't any idea. Some acid, says, no doubt. And there were big, long fats. They put the hides over a stick-like and let them down in. They just have to be there for so many days to get all that hair off them. Mm-hmm.
Did your father smell of the tannery when he came home at night?
I never. He probably did, but I didn't know.
What was your father's job at the tannery?
Finishing. Leather finishing. You know, all that grain on leather? Mm-hmm. That had to be all done by hand. Just marked on. And then they had a board like that run the length of their arm, just fastened up around here and the handle on it, and just worked that back and forth. I think there was cork on the bottom of that board. And keep working that back and forth until they work that grain up as finishing.
Huh. Where did they get most of their hides from, do you know?
Couldn't tell you.
Did they use barks of trees for dye?
Yes, hemlock, I think they used an awful lot. They used to come sled loads of bark come in them alone. They couldn't find anything like that now, or they filled a sled. I mean those big sleds, you know.
How many teams would draw a sled like that?
Two. Mm-hmm. One team.
One team.
Two horses.
Right.
Two horses.
How many men worked in the tannery? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I know my uncle did, but he was down in the. He worked down in the. Lower in that cellar there, where the tanks were.
How would they cut the hides? You know.
I couldn't tell you that.
What products did they produce? Did they produce any finished products like a belt or?
No, nothing but the leather. Mm. And they went to. The people that made shoes or whatever, you know, belts or whatever. And I think the trimming was done there. I don't think that, well, I know it was done, not done at the factory. They'd get the whole hide and then cut it as according to what they want to use it for.
Who, did the Websters own the mill always?
It was Webster's, as long as I know anything about it.
Who were the Webster family? How many were there?
I don't know them. By the time I had left here, I wasn't much interested in them, no more than most boys are. Mm-hmm. I knew it was Webster, and how many children they had or anything, that wasn't of any interest to me at all. So I don't know anything about it.
Did your family ever eat in the dining room for a regular meal?
First, eating outside of picnics. The first eating out of home cooking was after I went to the city.
When you were at home, did your mother and your father and all you children eat in the dining room or in the kitchen?
In the dining room.
Every meal?
Mostly.
Were there always enough chairs for all of you?
Oh, yes.
Did the house ever have a fireplace?
No.
Any of the houses around have fireplaces, the houses of your friends?
Well, those houses that I've been in, I didn't have one. None of them. Mm-hmm. I've been staying out in near Watertown, in the house there. Well, the house that my daughter lives in out there had a fireplace where they did their cooking. It was an old stone house, and it was boarded up and a mantle put there, but after they moved in, he tore that all apart and opened up that fireplace. Now he uses it. But they did their cooking on it and all. The farm there with the big kettle, you know, mm-hmm. It's all right there. Mm-hmm.
Did your house have closets?
Yes.
How many?
Well, I think each room had a closet, uh-huh. If I remember.
How were the bedrooms lit? Were there lights there, or did you have to take them upstairs at night?
There were kerosene lights. You carried them with you. And I used to put the light on the chair right alongside my bed and lay there and read. And I wonder why we didn't have more fires. They have more fires today than they did when they had just kerosene lights.
Mm-hmm. Were the lamp chimneys cleaned every day?
Well, I think they had certain days for it, unless it got badly smoked up or something like that. In the early days, Monday was wash day, Tuesday was ironing. I don't remember Wednesday, then there'd be one day for cooking. They'd cook all day, another day for cleaning through the house. But that didn't make any difference what come. Monday was wash day, and that's what had to be done that day.
Did your parents do any work on Sunday?
No, we didn't. There's less work done on Sunday then than there is when they have all the help. All the help, you know, the machinery to do work with. And they work more on Sunday now than they ever did.
As children, were you allowed to play with the neighbor kids on Sunday?
Yes, we'd play quiet games. No roughhousing or anything like that, but quiet games we were allowed.
How would your mother punish you if you did anything wrong?
Well, she did once with a birch switch that I remember very right.
What'd you do wrong?
Well, there was a fire. I was just started at school and hadn't been going long, and I went to a fire, and she went to the fire. So she saw me.
Did your father ever punish you?
No, he wouldn't. If you were near enough to him, he might hit you a slap or something like that, but he never, that would be the end of it. Neither one of them very bad that way.
What school did you go to at first?
The Stone Schoolhouse. There was a Stone Schoolhouse on Fort Covenant Street. I don't know, I guess there's a school there yet, isn't there? Fort Covenant Street?
It's a big wooden school there.
It used to be a little stone schoolhouse, one room schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm. Did it have a special name?
No. We just called it a stone schoolhouse, that's all I. Mm-hmm. Then I went from there to the academy. And then I stayed there until I was first year high. We went down the city.
How old were you when you started in school at the Stone Schoolhouse?
I couldn't tell you, but they generally started at 5, so I would say that, but I don't know.
What was it like inside? Was it wooden inside, or were the stones kept?
There was the blackboards around, you know, and then a little homemade, carpenter-made desks. They didn't have the manufactured desks like they do today.
Were they long desks? Or were they
big enough for two at a seat.
Could you sit with a girl? Could you sit with a girl?
Do I have to tell?
Yeah. Is there a story connected with that?
No.
Darn. What were the subjects taught?
Well, there and that, just learning to read and write, that's all. And using slates. We didn't have any paper until I got quite well along in school before I had pencil and paper. And even later before I had pen and ink. They used the Spencerian type of writing then.
Was there many books around the school for you to use?
Very few books, except we had to buy our own books then, and that was about all the books there was there. It was just our lesson books. Yeah. And those we had to buy ourselves.
Was buying books a difficulty for your family, or?
Well, it of course was a drain, and it seemed that the time my brother got along, he couldn't use my book because they changed and they had different dates. So almost every time the next child came along, they had to buy all new books again. So it was a drain on anybody, any of the families.
Where did you buy books?
Well, there was two or three. There was a Buttrick bookstore. There was a Miss Peck carried books right there in the town. We get them from there.
What books were you reading at night? Where did you get them from?
The library. You know that brick building right next to the old
railroad
station? That was the library then.
Mm-hmm. You'd go to the library and get books.
Yes. Yeah.
How many grades were there at the Little Stone Schoolhouse?
I don't think they went above the fourth or fifth, if they went that high. There was just